Hello and welcome to the Governance Podcast for Governors in the Diocese of Chichester. My name is Mike Simmons and I'm the Governance Development Officer for the Diocese, and I'm delighted to bring yet another episode of this podcast. If you haven't already, please make sure you subscribe on your usual platform. Well, in this episode number 5, we're going to explore some of the key issues relating to academisation. If you attended our virtual governance conference in September, you will have heard Trevor Crispin, our Director of Education, speak, and then Leslie Hurst, our Assistant Director, on some of the practical things in the academisation process. Well, we thought we'd bring that to you in a podcast so that it can be referenced back in the future and guide you in some of the process and ways that are essential. Before I introduce that section, let me just remind you of the Academy's Roadshow that we are holding as a diocese on Tuesday the 29th of November. I hope that heads and chairs have booked in for that session and will be able to explore with us what academisation may look like in the future in our diocese. We'll be exploring with the multi-academy trusts that we work with that are in the diocese how they might be able to engage with you in the longer term. There'll be no pressure. This is an exploration, a conversation for us all to enter into. So without further ado, let me introduce you to Trevor Crispin, our Director of Education.
We're extremely aware that the government's white paper places key decisions about the future of your schools very much at your feet. And the decision about when and how to become an academy clearly sits with governors. In acknowledging that, we want to make it clear that we are here to support you. Do not feel afraid to ask us for help. No question is ridiculous. We want you to be free to talk to us and explore ideas and plans together. But our first piece of advice is don't panic. There is no rush. Now is the time for wise reflection and considered decisions. The school bill is paused at the moment and there's a sense of uncertainty. Our position, however, is not to stand still, but continue to help you to explore the options, but do not rush. Our policy does still say that we want our church schools to go to church mats. There are exceptions, but they are only considered after all diocesan options are exhausted. The Diocesan Board of Education wants to be very supportive to you at this time, and we have two initiatives to engage with at this point. Firstly, we are running our Academy's Roadshow on November the 29th. This takes place at the Amex Stadium between 1:30 and 5 p.m. Now, the purpose of this is to find out about our own church majority mats. It's being run by our strategic partnership of mats. It's not a discussion about the policy, but rather an information sharing session to help address the issues that concern you. It will be a chance to hear how other schools have and are addressing the conversion agenda. It's a chance to listen to how our trust CEOs respond to the wider challenge that lie ahead and the ideas that they have. And it's a chance to get to meet those CEOs as well as governors and heads that are operating within our trusts. It will also be a chance to find out a little bit more about the process itself. On top of this, the DBE has just agreed to set up a working party to focus on the challenges facing our voluntary controlled schools. This is an information gathering exercise for us. We're going to be working with various voluntary controlled governors and head teachers to look at opportunities and issues around our VC schools and their wide variety of contexts. This is to equip the DBE with further information in order to enable them to offer the support, guidance and direction our schools need to help move forward. Now, the process of academy conversion is quite a long and complex journey. In our team, this is led by Leslie Hurst, and I'm going to hand over to her to just give you a few pointers on the general process itself.
I guess the first thing that I need to say to you is that this is not a quick process, and that for Church of England schools, there's really two distinct stages to academisation. The first stage is gaining conditional consent from the Diocesan Board of Education to convert to academy status. And then the second stage is the conversion itself. So I'm going to focus a little bit more on that first process rather than the second process. There's a lot of information that's available on the actual nuts and bolts of becoming an academy. I don't think many people are aware of having to gain conditional consent. So to gain conditional consent from the Board of Education, we do ask governing bodies to submit a form of information to show that you've completed a process of initial due diligence, just showing why you believe academisation is the right option for your school, why the mat you've chosen would suit your school, and how that mat is going to support your school to move forward and improve and consistently deliver for your children. The DBE will also require that same level of detail from the MAT. So there is a clear expectation that there has been some initial due diligence, but not that all due diligence would have been completed by that point. The Business Development Committee of the Board of Education scrutinise those applications, and they will come to a decision as to whether to pass a recommendation to the Board of Education to grant conditional consent, or whether they would like to come back to you for some more detail. So I think when you're planning your timelines moving towards academisation, you do need to factor in that timeline for conditional consent. Also, I will keep re-emphasising conditional because that remains so until the Board of Education is satisfied that all of the conditions are met. Those conditions tend to be around the paperwork involved with the academisation, so making sure that the Multi-Academy Trust Articles of Association are fit for purpose for a Church of England school, and also that all of the paperwork that is pertaining to your particular school and that academisation journey is completed correctly. So it also references the fact that all legal and professional fees incurred need to be paid from the academisation grant. That's really key so that you as a school governing body are not left out of pocket in any way. Once conditional consent is granted, then can go ahead and apply for your academy order from the Regional Director's Office. And it's the advisory board of the Regional Director's Office that make the decision whether to grant an academy order or not. And they tend to meet on a monthly basis during term time. So all being well, you've got your conditional consent from the DBE, you've got your academy order from the Regional Director's Office, then there's an initial kickoff meeting for the academisation process, and that brings together all the key stakeholders in the process. So that's the local authority, the diocese, the school governors. There should be someone representing the site trustees. Generally, that will sit with us unless you have an obscure site trust, which does happen sometimes, and it's someone that is not vicar and church wardens or the diocese. I would say that the usual process from that point is about a 6 to 9 month time frame to academisation. However, please note that those timeframes can be pushed back. So we've had some conversions complete in the 6 months and some have been 18 months plus. And that really does depend on the complexity, usually of your site. So the things that can slow down the process most often are land-based. So it's a good idea if you are thinking about academisation to just have a quick chat with us, have a quick chat with Rachel, who sits in my team, just look at trying to identify your site trustees and if there's any oddities in your land. So if things are unregistered, or if you've had new buildings placed on the land, sometimes that means that some transfers haven't happened. Other things that can hold up the process that are not land-based are arranging dates for transfers of contracts of services or staff. So that's the transfer from the local authority across to the Multi-Academy Trust. The other thing that I would flag as we get closer to 2030 is that one of the major causes of delays is likely to be the capacity of the local authority, the regional director's office and us to complete multiple academisations at once. So I think the plea that would come from me tonight is if you are thinking about academisation, start to have those conversations with us early so that we can start to plan in those timeframes and work with you on what those timeframes will look like. Thank you, Trevor.
So the broad message is that we're here to help. The DBE have got to give their consent to any conversion, and we want to do all we can to make that journey accessible and for the benefit of all our children and our families. So call us, talk to us, tell us what you need, and we'll help you and support you on your way and guide you in what you can and what you can't do.
Well, I hope that's been useful. And if you want to repeat it, obviously you can go back to the podcast and listen again so that you'll keep up to date with what has been shared with you. We will obviously cover this again in our future podcasts because it is very much the direction of travel in our education system in this country. So before we come to an end on this podcast, I want to introduce you to a governor of a small rural primary school in West Sussex who recently became a parent governor at a grammar school. But in the meantime, I'm asking her a little bit about her governance over the last, I think probably something like 20 years.
We're very much on a journey. We have had a SIAMS. Our last SIAMS was in 2018. So I believe we're not due one this academic year, but we have recently this year had a new parish priest. So we have been without one for a little while, but it's a journey that we've been making. We now have, since 2018, I think we started an ethos, so a faith committee. And so it's now always on the agenda. We have termly faith committee meetings. We now say a prayer at the beginning of our full board of governors and our faith committee meeting. Obviously, being a church school, it's important that all governors are aware and share that, and it's embedded in our ethos and culture. We obviously are still on a journey to make it more present in the classroom. And I think even though it's there, the children, it's perhaps slightly more subtle, so the children wouldn't recognise it as such. They also did a learning work on RHE, and because perhaps the messages are given more subtly, the children compared with another school might not say in RHE we learnt X. They're saying, but they would be able to give you the messages, and I think that's probably the same to a certain extent with Christian ethos. Although we always do have church services and they are used to going to the church and they have assemblies, collective worship.
So really important to develop that because of the needs of the school, the needs of the school community, and looking ahead to a SIAMS inspection. And as we're going to be seeing as we go forward in the next few months, new ways of interpreting the need for a church school inspection. So some of us, many thousands, I think, are attending some training that's being put on by the Church of England SIAMS people to really show us where it's going to be moving in September 23 and beyond. So it's worthwhile looking at how developing the vision of the school and its theological underpinning is going to be even more central than it is currently under the current schedule. I wanted to ask you as well about the link with the church. You say you had a new vicar arrive, and how
to our school and doing collective worship and meeting with the children and the staff. So that's very positive, and promoting the church, and she did the leavers service at the end of July.
It's good because we've got the growing partnership initiative within the diocese, and we really want to encourage all of our schools to look at how that partnership can develop. There's no clear structure to that within the partnership initiative, but it is about interpreting it on a local basis to bring church and school together. And again, it's worth noting that SIAM's inspections will be looking quite closely at how that relationship is working for the good of the children and of the whole school community. So it is a vital thing. So if you had the opportunity, which you have right now, to just express one thing about school governance in a church school, what would that be? It's a very open-ended question. What one thing would you want to say to other governors about being a governor in a church school?
It's an amazing experience and very fulfilling.
And that's after quite a number of years being in role and being chair and seeing some of the ways in which governance can make a difference. Are you able to give us an example just from the last few years where you think a governance decision or discussion had a significant impact on the school?
Well, I suppose we're involved in recruitment, so when we appointed our last substantive head, it was very important that we got someone who was prepared to take forward the Christian ethos and the values and the vision and actually help reshape and reform and revisit those values and vision to be living values and vision for the future. So that was very important for our school and has been a huge step forward that we've then remodeled our values to make them accessible and threaded through the community, and all the children and staff model those on a daily basis, and governors.
Thank you very much. That's really important. I often say that there's no the single most important thing a governing body ever does is appoint the next head teacher, and it's important that we get those that appointment right with any school, but within a church school in particular. So thank you very much for sharing with us today, Margaret, and wish you well in both of your governance opportunities in the future. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Well, that was Margaret Smith, and I'm grateful to her for being willing and able to contribute to this week's podcast. If you're interested in sharing your story and your experiences as a governor, please do be in touch with me. And in particular, I would really welcome questions that we can seek to answer and address in future podcasts. Just write to me at mike.simmons@chichester.anglican.org. I'd love to hear from you, like to know your views on the podcast. So as I come to a conclusion, just a reminder that we now have our fifth Secretary of State for Education, Gillian Keegan. Gillian Keegan is in fact the Member of Parliament for Chichester and has been since 2017. So we look forward to the policies and introductions of ideas and so on and so forth from the Department for Education under her leadership. We'll need to respond to those. We will need to find out how to deal with some of the challenges that may be raised by our government and by the new legislation that we suspect will come up in due course. So until then, and the next podcast, do subscribe, do join us as we release these from time to time. And as I pray for you, I pray that your governance will benefit the well-being and the educational experience of both staff and children. Heavenly Father, thank you for everyone serving our schools. And for this half term, with Christmas coming a bit up in front of us, we pray that it will be one of celebration and one where we receive many blessings from you and from each other. We ask it through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. So until next time, goodbye.